It's alive.
Podcast episode 422, The League versus Frankenstein. I'm Matt Durson.
And I'm Baron John Frankenstein.
I'm Burgermeister Cleon Bernard.
I was glad someone used Burgermeister.
I looked it up the other day when I watched the movie, and then I looked it up again today because I was like, what does that mean again?
What does it mean?
And I forgot between the time I looked it up and today. It just means mayor.
Oh, very good. Well, welcome back.
Mayor!
Thanks.
I didn't have a sash, so I couldn't tell you it was the mayor.
Bo Quimby. Thanks, anyone who listened to our Transformers movie podcast last week, which you didn't.
But I know we have some follow-up.
Yeah. One person did. So.
Yeah, our first ever follow-up edition of...
maybe second.
Look, I could talk about Transformers, the movie, all day.
I know.
I celebrate the entire catalog.
That was a long episode of our lives.
Were you guys like... I couldn't really tell because I just happened to start like watching it and it kind of... It wasn't really a watch-along.
We talked longer than the movie is.
But it kind of was, because when you guys were talking, it was syncing up with the movie.
We were talking through the story points, which like we didn't used to do whenever we'd do movie reviews. Yeah, we would just go, I like this part. No, I didn't like that part.
Oh, that's a way to do it, too. But do you guys like, you guys really know the story, like inside and out?
I think I have watched that movie 4 gazillion times.
Yeah. Probably.
Hundreds, yeah. At least. There was a point a few years ago where I was in a very bad depression about life events that I couldn't control, that I was like, I just don't like anything. It's sad that I'm never going to watch Transformers the movie again. And boy, was I wrong.
Oh, wow.
Because I was thinking of getting rid of my copy at the time. I was like, I'll just get rid of all this stuff. Well, nothing matters.
Would you have given it to Matt?
I would have given him my VCR copy that has the making of Jaws of Revenge on it as well.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
I know, I've probably seen that. I mean, other than maybe like Star Wars or Jaws, you know, or something, I've probably seen that movie more than any other movie ever.
Wow. So. Yeah.
There are some movies that I cannot count how many, and that is one of them. Jaws is one of them. Star Wars is one of them. Raiders is one of them. Oh. Empire is one of them.
You guys King look down, down your nose at me for only seeing it less than maybe 10 times.
No, of course not. You're not as crazy as us.
Okay. The fact that you watched it, enjoyed it, that's pleased right. me to know.
Oh, it was really, I mean, that Flint Dilly book was really wonderful. I'm in the middle of a couple books right now, and that was just like, such a good break from the world and everything right now. It was just
really
awesome.
Was. I've listened to it a second time since then.
Wow.
And it's made me, I want to pick up the other writer of the movie, Ron Friedman, who I had mentioned.
You mentioned that.
And he has a book called I Killed Optimus Prime, So Sue Me. And he's like a totally different kind of character than Flint Dilly, but a little more offbeat, but equally as amusing, but in a totally different way.
Right. Well, the reason I really brought it up, of course, is because we missed, apparently, Scatman Carruthers.
Major Scatman Carruthers, faux pas.
Was it Two of a Kind with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John? Yeah. We should have mentioned that, apparently. Never mind The Shining. And here I was mad that I didn't mention Orson Welles' Touch of Evil. Because I couldn't think of it at the time, but
I almost said something about that.
Yeah. And obviously,
we missed would have tied in with.
Yeah, John mentioned it in War of the Worlds too.
He mentioned War of the Worlds. Yeah.
I don't think I mentioned Touch of Evil. Well, that would have tied in with our Star Trek: The Motion Picture, I think, where Robert Wise, the director of the motion picture, was the editor on Touch of Evil, or he was the editor on Citizen Kane. Don't quote.
See, we're not. This isn't an Orson Welles podcast.
No.
But maybe someday. All right. Well, anyway, sorry about the. We left a couple things out. Hey, you can't cover everything. There's a lot.
And we'll just be closing this segment and not following up on old podcasts ever again. Thank you very much for writing in, whoever it was.
Thanks for listening. All right. But we're gonna talk about this week. We're going to talk about, because it's October and Halloween's coming. We're going to talk about Frankenstein.
No, we're not talking about Frankenstein.
Oh, talking about Frankenstein.
No, we're talking about
Frankenstein.
1931. The 1931. Carl Zemele presents Frankenstein, produced by Carl Zemele Jr., copyright MCXMXXXXI, Universal Pictures Corp., Carl Zemele presents, Incorporated.
It's Carl Zemele.
Yes.
And
You put two letters like that and expect me to know how to say it.
Let me tell you.
It's German.
His German. Niece, Carla Zemele, is the first person to have a line in a Universal horror talkie movie in the original Dracula. Mm-hmm. Look, I said I was not well prepared tonight, but...
Okay.
Bam. That's some good...
I'm pretty prepared for this.
I'm done.
I did some preparation for this. I listened to the first half of the actual book read by Dan Stevens of Legion and Downton Abbey fame. And it's very different. The book, we'll talk about how different the book is where we are. But I learned something that I wanted to say off the top, which is that I always thought it was Bela Lugosi, but it's Bela Lugosi is how you say his name. Bela.
No, two shits about poor Bela.
Tupac. No one gives two fucks for Bela. Yeah,
I know nobody gives two fucks about that, but I didn't know that's how you said it.
Bela does. Well,
he knew
Hungarian, right? So
yeah, that's how he can.
And he never learned English or something, right?
No, he learned English because he could still speak it. You could see interviews with him, but it wasn't his native tongue.
Oh, Bela.
I mean, he played Dracula in English.
They shot two versions of Dracula at the same time.
Yeah,
there's a Spanish version and the English version. They'd like the English version would shoot during the day, and then the Spanish people would come and go like, "We can do better than that," and they would shoot at night, and they would do these more elaborate setups and stuff. Cameras
with a different actor.
Yes, a whole different cast,
but the same set.
Yes,
that's pretty weird. Wow. Anyways, 1931, Frankenstein, the original.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to. You have to talk about the original Dracula first here, because that came out before it, and that was a big hit. And
please give us background here. I'm mostly prepped on our creature.
It's going to be a very brief overview because of me. That's why.
And you're always so short-winded.
Short-winded, yeah. Dracula, that was a stage play, was a big thing. They were originally going to get Lon Chaney to play Dracula. And then he dies of throat cancer. So they're like, well, who's the guy playing him on stage? I guess we'll use him. And then that makes Bela Lugosi a huge star. The movie's a big hit, and Universal is like, we got to follow it up.
They're dead and they're loving it.
Exactly. the head of the studio, Carl Zemele, is like, this stuff is kind of, I don't know about that. But his son, Carl Zemele Jr., is like, no, Dad, this stuff is where it's at. So let's get on Frankenstein.
Get hip to it, Daddy-O.
Yeah, so they get on Frankenstein, which they don't adapt the book. They adapt the stage play by Peggy Webling, I think. Yes, Peggy Webling.
Yep.
See, the play was adapted by John L. Balderstein, and they originally had a different director, whom I don't...
Balderstein, I say.
It looks like Balderstein. Is it Balderstein?
Well, look at it. I was watching the making of earlier. Okay. They said Stein. So.
Oh, all right. Maybe my information is incorrect.
Fine.
You don't need to get into everybody's name.
I think Robert Flory was going to be the original director. I could be mistaken on that.
No,
and
that's correct.
Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
To play the monster.
There is apparently footage of
yes
that they
but
shot.
I don't think
it's ever been
found.
Yeah, they consider it lost.
Yeah, but they had him painted up like a giant golem, and Bela was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to play a part that's mute. And like the script at the point where they were casting him was not the script it became. It wasn't the movie that we ultimately got. So it's not like he made a big mistake at the time based on the information he had. It wasn't.
Yeah, and same. He didn't regret it either later in life. Never. He didn't want his, you know, it's just like today. It's all about image. He didn't want his, all the stuff like on his face and have people not recognize him and have to be like kind of a murdery creature from the original script. He wasn't feeling it.
Well, the classic scene in Ed Wood is when he says, "Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit. That limey cocksucker can rot in hell for all I care." But the real crux of it is when he says, "You think it takes talent to play Frankenstein? It's all makeup and grunting."
Which there's a little artistic license taken with that scene. Karloff and Lugosi starred in a movie together afterwards. I think it was The Black Cat. And they got along quite well.
They starred in a couple movies together.
Yeah. But I mean, like right around that time, that was the big thing, you know, was, oh, the two guys together. And they got along quite well because I think Lugosi didn't want to like him, but couldn't help but like Karloff because Karloff was a very, you know, English gentleman. Like,
Big Tam and Roger Moore. Like, they are, you know, they are James Bond. They both are.
Yes.
He is.
There's never any. Well, the funny thing is, apparently Bela Lugosi, I'll just jump ahead for a quick second. This is a little behind the scenes thing. So, what's her face? The woman who plays Elizabeth, Mae Clark.
Yes,
was a little nervous that she was going to have to like play off him in the full Frankenstein makeup and get up. And she was like, and he said, "Here's what I'll do. When my hand is off screen, I'll wiggle my pinky so that you like just to give you something."
Though old Boris is over here,
but like just to be like, it's just me, it's just your friend, you know, Boris. So
it's just me.
And apparently, the little girl that he throws
Maria,
like I don't know, they were afraid that she was going to be scared, but she thought he was cool. So.
Yeah, she jumped.
Like a nice guy, that Boris Karloff.
He's like, "Will you play with me?"
Yeah, well, in real life, I think she said that too. So, yeah, how about that?
Yeah, no, everything I have heard about Boris Karloff has been that he was a very kind man and was not at all like the roles that he played on screen.
Well, there we go.
And if you listen to his reading of The Grinch.
That's right. Forgot about that. All right, so yeah, anyways, Flory ended up not making the movie.
Yes, and they bring in James Whale. There's no real record of why Flory was taken off the project, but James Whale is in. Flory is out. James Whale asserts a lot of creative control over the film in terms of the set design, in terms of the monster design, in terms of casting Karloff, Colin Clive, Mae Clark, Edward Sloan, I believe. Is his name?
Yeah, Edward Van Sloan and Dr. Waldman.
Yes.
Let's not forget about Lionel Belmore, who plays the Burgomeister, okay?
He's not in this one, is he? Is he in this one?
Yeah,
he is. I know this is because I have the credit screen in front of me right now.
Oh,
it's like listed old-timey cinema style, and it has the monster question mark.
Yes. But James Whale, a gay man in the 30s, says, you know, related to sort of the outsider status of the monster. And he directed
the theme
the
that he carried, on into The Bride.
Yeah, which most people feel that The Bride is a superior film to the original Frankenstein. I disagree because it goes a little too campy.
Good.
Good. Oh, friend, good smoke. And he brings in Dr. Pretorius, who was one of his, one of his friends. Pretorius.
Pretorius. Pretorius, P.I.G.
We could go all night.
Also like, he was also like a stage drag queen and stuff. So he was very flamboyant in his performances. Like, oh, well, I see I'm not alone.
Yeah, that's as gay as it got back then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They were like, everybody would recognize that guy was gay. Everyone did.
I'm not but saying that's my issue with it. I'm just saying my issue is it just gets a little too camp for its own good, because there's the woman that's their maid that's like, and she just is like over the top, like crazy weird woman that's running around screaming all the time. But that's
this
the second,
like, pretty serious and straight.
Well, there's something to be said, actually. Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit, because, like, obviously this is the 1931, I'm sorry. And like obviously Frankenstein's been done, you know, and it's done goofy, and there was, you know, like goofy TV shows. Yeah,
I guess
breakfast cereal. But I mean, back then this guy's grave robbing, and like he goes to the gallows to try to find a brain that he can use, like
it's just been hung.
Yeah. And like, that's pretty creepy stuff. If you're in 1931 and you go to the movies, you're like, ugh. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you be kind of like,
yeah, well, that's why they have the opening where Van Sloan comes out and says, like, ooh, this might be a little too scary. Just let you know.
Yeah.
And it gets was banned. Filmed after the movie. It was not filmed by James Whale.
That is a pretty weird, that's a pretty funny thing, though, too. Like,
it reminds me of Superman the movie, too, when, like, they have the kid and then, you know, like reading a comic book and it opens it up. It's like, it's like a very like formal introduction to the movie.
Yeah. Going to the movies was a different thing though back then. You know what I mean? They were probably like legit telling people.
And there was, I just remember too, that like Thomas Edison made like a
1910 version. Yeah.
And that was probably more like, you know, definitely like, we'll definitely talk about the costume later, but it probably didn't.
I think that's available on YouTube. I think
monster, wow. Like, I don't know if it's the art or it's the creature. It's really goofy. But it's like really weird looking.
Yeah, it's really goofy. Not like this.
It's a light bulb.
Like this iconic design of the monster,
yeah,
which was a collaboration between James Whale and makeup wizard Jack Pierce, who essentially designed. If you're aware of any Universal monster, Jack Pierce pretty much had a hand into it, other than like the creature from the Black Lagoon, because he was
that guy's like the Jack Kirby of movie makeup.
Yes, and he's also sort of like he either liked you or he didn't. You know, fortunately, Karloff and him got along fantastically. Lon Chaney Jr. and him hated each other.
Whoa.
So you're stuck there getting Wolfman makeup
plastered
on your face for X amount of hours, and you can't stand the other guy. Well, that's no fun.
That's gotta be. Now, I don't know if this is true, but IMDb lists him as uncredited makeup artist and uncredited makeup designer.
So it's probably
they might not have even put that stuff in the credit. Yeah.
Oh no, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm just saying it's kind of interesting. I mean, probably said he probably did a lot of work on it.
I mean, if you look at the credits in the movie, they last for what, like 10 seconds? You
know? Yeah,
it's like a title card with the players, and here's this the sound man and the directed by. You know,
yeah, they don't spend a lot of time. This is a long time before like those unions demanded all this stuff.
Yeah, and the only time that there's music in the movie is over the credits. There's no music in the film.
Yeah.
Which you don't
even
notice.
They have like the eyes spinning around.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's really weird. Like, doesn't have anything to do with Frankenstein, really, but it definitely reminds you of like Halloween and spooky season.
Yeah.
But the thing was, the movie came out after Halloween. It came out, I think, in like November.
Oh, that's silly. But then again, maybe there were so many problems with they had problems with censors and stuff, and a lot of places were banning it and wanting.
It's almost a Christmas movie because it came out so late in November. Here's like it had a budget of $262,000 and made $12 million. So
yeah,
I'm sure that's including like re-releases in throughout the years.
Well, I suppose if it's only an hour and 10 minutes, you can show it a lot of times in a day.
Yeah.
You know?
It's one of the things I really like about the movie is it's short.
It's short, and but also like the sets, even like this graveyard scene at the beginning, like every thing looks so cool and so gothic.
Well, there's a very German expressionist influence in terms of the way they would light that. Like movies back then, they would just like flat light it.
That's what the art movement that was going on at the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like 20s and 30s.
And in fact, some of the cinematographers from Germany came over and started working on the Universal movies, like on Dracula and the Mummy. And so they were bringing that style with them.
Good, come over here. They got to get out of there. Nobody needs, somebody should tell them. Come over here.
quick, get out before.
A few years.
Yeah.
Work on movies instead.
Well, yeah, it was all black and white film. So yeah. It's not like,
then they, yeah, there's a lot, yeah, there's a lot of atmosphere you can create.
Yeah.
In a black
film.
So yes, he's robbing. They're robbing. There are matte paintings in this as well. So. Yeah. They are
Kurt paintings or something, or you know, like Heimlich, you know, some German name. Sorry, that was a bad.
Like this guy has his lantern out, Igor or what he's
Fritz.
Or whatever his name.
Fritz.
He has his lantern up, and like it's like reflecting off of the painted clouds in the background.
Yeah, there are a lot,
but
of...
it's like kind of awesome. I like it.
With the villagers chasing him around, you can see all the folds in the backdrop of the sky and things. Yeah. But it does sort of just add to the charm of it now. And Fritz was not in the book. He was an addition to the stage play. But in the stage play, he was mute.
But maybe it would have been better.
They wanted to give Frankenstein someone to talk to. And he was portrayed by Dwight Frye, I believe, who played... Renfield in Dracula.
It's so funny how much these guys just kept like.
Yeah, he was sort of.
They kind of had like a studio. It was almost like Marvel Studios.
Yeah, right. It's like,
except for that they played different characters.
Well, Universal is really the first shared universe, the Universal Monsters, because they all cross over at some point. You know, there's like one whole movie where it's like Dracula and the Frankenstein monster and the Wolfman and
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. But it's like, they really feel like eight different movies they jammed into one. Then the movies get real bad at a certain point.
They kind of like have an evolution. They have like the same kind of characters. Like this is the same doctor that was Van Helsing, right? Like in Dracula.
Well, Van Helsing was the same doctor. The same actor.
If you see Dracula, and then you see this, and you know,
and he's also in The Mummy as well, essentially playing the same character.
Yeah, so it's basically, it's like, oh, it's that guy. He's the doctor.
Yeah, he plays a doctor in every movie. You know, why not?
Right.
One of the weird things about this movie is the fact that they change a bunch of the names. Like Victor Frankenstein becomes
Victor and Henry are switched.
Yeah, they're switched, and there was one other character that was switched as well, and I can't remember whom that is. Offhand.
Sorry about the train interrupting your thought. Maybe you would have remembered it. Sorry.
Yeah, mate. It's okay. I love the train. It's just like the lantern reflecting on the back of the backdrop
Adds a little something.
And it reminds me of when I lived on Huntington Avenue and heard the train all the time.
Oh.
Brings me back to my college years.
Good times.
Reminds me of when I lived out in the country here in North Dakota.
Yeah, all those the commuter trains that went by. No,
it's the only way to tell time.
Oh, that's 8:20.
8:15.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to get on track here. Speaking of trains, they are grave robbing. Yeah. And they go to the gallows, Fritz and who we know to be Henry Frankenstein.
By Colin Clive.
Yes. Who,
I'm going to insert some more, drop some knowledge on you. Cool. Colin Clive, was a young-ish man. He's in his 30s when he does this, but by the time they had finished Bride of Frankenstein, he was not long for the world, as he was had severe depression issues and severe alcohol issues. You combine those two things, and you lead a short life. So,
oh boy,
you get an abnormal brain. You know,
yes. That's
what happens. Well, so yeah, they're looking. There's a great line, I think. He's like, they're talking about. Cutting down they go by the gallows and there's a body hanging there and they're like, oh, you know, yeah, cut it down. And then like the neck, he's like, no, the neck is broken. I need a brain. Like it's like,
Which is weird, because then they just go get a brain in a jar. It's like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
The one being dead already. Maybe because the jar, it's pickled or something, or preserved.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's not going to work because this guy's neck broke. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm willing to go with it.
Right. But yeah, there's like the abnormal brain and the normal brain. So the one
Fritz gets spooked by a hanging skeleton and drops the normal brain when he goes to steal it from the local university that Van Sloan is teaching at.
And Waldman's
students even are leaving the
one of the students has "I love you" painted on her eyelids. It's weird.
That's weird.
But like you see the skeleton like bouncing up and down. It's like, why is that thing on a like spring?
First of all, this guy who digs up graves all night shouldn't be afraid of a fake skeleton. But wait,
I think it was the skeleton that scared. You know, it's like when you're in Davis Square, and back when I used
North Dakota.
Yeah, Davis Square, North Dakota, and I used to deliver newspapers in the middle of the night. And there's all those statues of people. You know they're there, but sometimes out of the corner of your eye, you catch them. You're like, "Foo!" You know, and you think it's a person. So I think that's what happened with Fritz.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Yeah, just caught him by surprise. All right, and then we meet Elizabeth.
Elizabeth
May Clark, who is engaged to Henry Frankenstein, but she's got an admirer. So it's like, oh, I
Red Butler from Gone with the Wind.
That's right. So that's Victor, John.
Yes,
Bowles.
I'm fond of you.
Yes, he says. He's like, I am fond. Anyway, so.
He doesn't hide the fact that he's like. Yeah, he's like.
I kind of hope he is gone forever.
Yeah, that would work out well
he's
for
just
me.
Just doing his windmill shit. Leave him alone.
Yeah. What is the problem? We can stay here and look at the ceiling mat painting.
So yeah, they're like, she's all concerned though. Henry's been out. He's been working hard. He can't tell anyone what he's doing because he's robbing grapes.
The gruff dad.
Oh, God. Okay.
I think he's my favorite character in the whole movie.
Baron Frankenstein.
Yeah, he's like very old movie. Like, shot of brandy will do you good. And he does have like kind of a sash or something on. He's like all fat and like has a cane and all sorts of ailments.
But they drink a lot of beer, which I thought was funny. Those Frankensteins. It's in German.
Oh, hell yeah.
In Germany, you know? Yeah. So they're not. Yeah.
You know, they gave out some kegs of beer to the villagers later on.
That's right. I know. He's great. But yeah, they're all worried about Henry. So, they're like, let's go talk to him.
Oh, Henry.
Which there is a piece that remains in the script from, he's like, he's up at his windmill, which originally that was going to be where his laboratory was, in a windmill, not in the weird broken down castle place.
Right. They end up in the windmill. But
they
do.
Spoiler
alert.
He's
not in the windmill the whole time? I was confused then. I thought that's where everything was, but who knows?
Nah. Well, that line,
the windmill is made out of wood.
Confusing.
But it was just they didn't edit it. They forgot to remove it from the script, and then just it was an overlooked mistake. If you can,
burn this whole thing.
Come up with a no prize.
Come up with a reason for that. Maybe there was a little tiny windmill.
I just thought
it
was like post box the pit. Like it was like the underground of G.I. Joe is like. Below that is all the science stuff, but then like he when he brings the monster up in to get the lightning, you know, it goes up to the top of the windmill.
No problem.
I'm pretty sure they show the stone exterior though.
Yeah, I think they do too.
Yeah.
All right, but they show it because the next scene is the big scene. It's this. He's like, oh, I need this. Like he's all upset, whatever. But like it's pretty quick into this hour and 10 minute movie that here's the monster. Like the second we learn about it, he's like, okay, let's do it. The storm's gonna be here in 15 minutes. Like, oh, all right, no build up.
Yeah,
okay.
Do they have kites and stuff too, or am I just remembering that wrong?
I don't think not.
Fritz was like on the roof, kind of like, hey,
there's a great line where he's like Fritz, and he just looks down and he's like, hello.
But like, I don't know what, like, this, he's like, yeah, in my, and he's talking about the brain and everything, and he's talking about like, oh yes,
it's a new body.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, this body was never alive. I just, you know, like, it was waiting for me or something. Like, he's getting this kind of crazy God complex thing going. But yeah, we get to one of the most famous lines in movie history is, it's alive!
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But then they cut. Like, I'm like, we don't get to see this thing walk around. We don't know.
Well, drama.
It's crazy. I was surprised. I was like, if that was a movie made now, this scene would be twice as long, and it would just have a lot of sort of walking around and music and just kind of like, you know. But no, they just
got his headphones on here. It looks like me.
I know.
I have my headphones on.
I was looking at those. Good job.
But also, yeah, this is, I want to talk about the censorship part, because when he does say that line, the famous line, it's alive, it's alive.
Also, you have to remember that everybody's come up to the laboratory now, and Fritz gets real annoyed when he goes down the stairs. He's like, go away! And like, they're knocking on the door, and then he starts to walk back up the stairs, and they start knocking again. He's like, and he's grumbling to himself, stops, pulls up his sock, you know, grumbles some more, and then lets them in. So they are there to see,
right,
like, the shit go down.
To see it.
But I think Clay, you're talking about the "in the name of God" line.
Yeah,
yeah. So that
bring up that the characters were there because they're restraining him from, like, they're like, he's psycho.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right. But yeah, so they edited out a couple of things that in certain states didn't get to see him saying, I feel like a god now.
Yeah. Now I know because what he said, like, to be
God. Yeah.
So, because saying God in 1930, that was a big deal. Yeah.
They removed that for like re-releases, and they thought it was lost footage, but it resurfaced, I think, in the 80s, and they put it back in.
Yeah.
Put it right back in.
It was. Yeah.
It was like a weird hard cut where he's like, in the name of.
And they also did like another thing where they kind of drowned it out in some edits, where thunder
and stuff. Yeah.
Weird, crazy times.
But
happened
really quickly that everybody shows up there. And can we just talk about the set design of the classic Frankenstein laboratory with all the Tesla coils and the fucking crazy shit in there? It looks so fucking badass.
Those electronics things that buzzes. I'm just gonna keep quoting Ed Wood throughout this entire podcast.
This is the movie that created all of the tropes.
Right. Yeah,
the mad scientist in his lab with all the buzzing stuff, and
there was a Universal guy. He was like a set designer guy. Yeah. He had built all this stuff, and they were just hire and rent him like with all the stuff for the next movie, and then apparently like this guy still had it like in his house
for years.
He died.
For years, like they were like he was still renting it out until like the 80s.
Oh my god, that's pretty crazy. That's good to know. I got their money's worth. So anyways, like it's cool though. It's definitely a different way of filmmaking to reveal the monster, and then just it cuts to like, oh, Henry's wedding, and he's not here. Kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty strange, I think. Anyways.
It's a little strange. Also, the reveal of the creature is also a little strange.
Yeah, it is.
He opens the door and walks in backwards.
he opens it with his back.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to figure out how does he know how the door handle works? I don't know.
I get you're going for a dramatic entrance. Yeah. But walking through the door backwards is sort of weird.
I don't know.
It's like he could have been in shadow, and they could have had like a spotlight right above the door when he walked through it and reveal him that way. But when they do reveal him, it does like these like three cuts close up to his face.
That's also just a strange editing choice, but hey, you know, they were trying something.
Yeah.
And Karloff had like a bridge work that he could remove from his face to make it so that he could suck in the side of his face and make him look more like a cadaverous sort of look.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, look at that.
Yeah.
I also wanted to briefly talk about the makeup, which
your makeup
was, which was, it wasn't it like was, a prosthetic yeah. head that they had pre-made. They had to do that every day on the set. You had to build it up.
Oh yeah,
that's and it was the, green, which
yeah,
is why we have like the green
grease
now.
Yeah, it was like a green grease paint. So because it, so it would show up as like sort of like this death gray on black and white film, yeah. And.
I know, like, the same problem they had with, you know, like, Spock's, like, makeup when they first started doing, like, tests. Like, they were trying to make it look good, you know, so they had to, like, kind of add different colors to it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's and one last thing about the makeup was that Karloff was sort of like, oh, yeah, no, it looks good, except I still, my eyes look, I still look too alive. So they took, like, mortician's wax and put it over his eyelids to give him more of that sort of like beyond sure. like half awake look.
I mean, wow, it worked. But like, it gave him, you gotta
famously the costume too, like those shoes were like 50 pounds each, and I found out today what they were. They were cement spreader shoes. So what? Like you wear these things and like flatten like your lanai, or whatever. I don't know what they're the something. Maybe it's like maybe there were special boots to like mix cement or something. But there were cement spreader shoes, and they were fucking heavy as fuck.
Wow!
But they boosted him up because he wasn't really that tall.
Yeah,
or bulky.
And his jacket was made so that the cuffs on his sleeves were cut short to make it look like the jacket was too small for him.
I always thought Frankenstein had a smart look.
The jacket,
you know? Like yeah, you know. The jacket, and the, you know, yeah. Go into like Fred Gwynne, and you know, it's like, hey, he's ready. It's like, it's not a suit; it's a sport coat.
Well, maybe that's just what someone was wearing, whoever they got the torso from, you know, in their coffin. Ooh. They said, yeah, just leave the jacket; it's fine.
I like the.
I need a brain and a too, where he's jacket. Like, I need like, a sport coat.
Where he's kind of like. Gesturing with his hands, like, "Hey,
yeah,
give me
what do you
some
think?
Food or
you
something."
Like, you like my jacket?
What do you think?
Yeah, so there
men's
is...
warehouse. I'm gonna like the way I look.
Yeah. So, anyways, the next time we see the monster, he's you know, they decide like he's like they got him in the basement, and they're like, "Well, let's bring him out." Like, it's kind of weird. And then he's afraid of the fire. That's
yeah. Fritz is torturing him.
Yeah, Fritz is an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah.
So and an idiot drops the regular brain anyway. It's all his fault.
That's right. Well, Fitz gets his, so that's good too. He does kill Fitz.
Fritz.
Why do I keep saying that? All right. He's dead though.
I keep saying D'Lo, De La Renta.
Yeah, he's literally, I'm watching right now, he's literally whipping him. Like,
yeah.
Come on, dude. You're going to whip this gigantic Frankenstein monster? What's your problem?
Yeah.
Well, really, he's not a monster. He's just a dude.
He's just a dude who doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
He's
been put together by, like, well, that's kind of the thing. What's his name? Dr. Waldman. It's like, he's just a, you have to kill him like you would any other savage animal. He's kind of just like, and they want
to. Yeah,
you know,
Waldman used to work at the zoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Rich is like the guy that's like kicking the dog because he thinks it's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No.
Yeah, so then you see Fritz, like, is he hanging in the background?
Yeah, like he dies off screen, really. But he's like, but I like actually, how Henry Frankenstein is not that upset. He's like, yeah, he used it. Torture.
Yeah, he's kind of crappy, you know. Because well, he does find out that Fritz got the wrong brain, so he was sort of like, "Oh, we got the bad guy," which sort of takes away from some of the innocence that the monster is supposed to have.
Yeah, you know? I was thinking that same thing, but it's just to add to the horrorness of it, I guess. I don't know. They do go back and forth here.
Someone hanging is pretty creepy and probably pretty brutal for the audience at the time. You're like, oh, that guy's hanging dead. Yeah. Gross.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like they go back and forth. They're like, oh, this is supposed to be Frankenstein. It's just an evil, crazy thing. Or, oh, well, you know, he's a monster. There are a few elements in there of like, he's misunderstood. He doesn't know. Yeah. I'm just a caveman.
It's so easy, even a caveman can do it.
So
everybody.
So
likes
yeah,
to take
Waldman
rest
says, "Look, I'll put him there. To sleep. You go get married."
Right. But they just kind of knock him out. It doesn't really kill him, but they just hide him in the basement again. But meanwhile, Henry got like almost.
They even edited
out
the hypodermic needle scene in some of these cuts. They said, "Well, that's too much. Can't have the people seeing that." Meanwhile, Fritz is hanging in the background. It's like, hey, there's a half-grain solution.
So, yeah, but Henry does finally go home with Elizabeth, and they're like, oh.
I'm feeling so much better now that I'm not all stressed out now that Waldman's taking care of everything.
Yeah, well, then Waldman doesn't, he doesn't last too long. The monster kind of almost like sneaks up on him. He like puts his arm up around the back and chokes him out. And then he's on the move.
Boom.
Let's see how this baby moves.
But I love the line. But they're at the wedding and Baron Frankenstein, Frederick Kerr, by the way, the old, he's like, the drink old to the house of Frankenstein. Like, they to the house of Frankenstein, as I'm drinking and raising my own beer right now. To the house
I
of
just
Frankenstein.
Think of that sample in like the House of Pain. Coming to the house. The house of Frankenstein.
House of Frankenstein. All right, so here we get Little Maria.
Little Murray?
Bill Murray's youngest.
1009 Murray.
Little Maria is this poor girl throwing flowers into the water, you know, like, oh. They
I have to say something. When Maria's dad leaves to whatever, fucking go meet up with who's he, what's it, I gotta go pick up the laundry or whatever he's going to do.
Go get the lederhosen.
Yeah. But
it's Oktoberfest.
She's like playing with a cat, right?
Yeah, he's got a kitty.
And, like, it looks like the cat is very real, and then it looks like the cat is a puppet, and I can't figure out which is which.
I never paid attention to that. So I'll have to go back and look.
Something really just caught my eye, but I think I kind of sort of paused it, and it just kind of looks like the cat is, like, meowing, and it made it look really fake for some reason for a second.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that there's a real need for a puppet cat if they've already got a real one there.
Yeah, I don't think they would do both unless
the cat had to do something sort of extraordinary, like jump into the water and save her.
Meow, meow, meow. Okay, let's get into that with the water.
Okay.
Why didn't this kid just fucking walk out of it?
Well, I mean, some stuff was edited out, like this.
But still, I mean, he just lightly tosses her into the pool.
He does. I hate
he just
this.
Can't drink. She can't swim, I guess. But she lives right
no, look
at
I'm yeah. married Come to on. Someone that can't swim, so I understand that.
But you okay, don't live next
but it
to
does
a
seem...
giant lake.
Well, I do actually. Oh, I live next to a river.
Well, now you know how you can.
A lot of rivers in North Dakota.
Yeah. We do have a lot of rivers here.
Well, yeah, this was edited out. Like, well, first of all, it's kind of funny to watch.
How deep do you think the water is? Right?
He like, kind of just chucks her. Like, it's
pretty clear. Yeah, well, that's the point. Yeah. So.
If you don't know she's going to die, it's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, in the edited version where they don't show it, it like seems more creepy. Like he's going to rape her. You know, when they don't show what it does, you know.
Yeah.
It's so weird. And like, this is kind of like, you could tell they must have edited her diet. It's just like, I can't swim, kind of. Like, it's really, I don't know, it doesn't sound.
It's 1931. Right. You gotta give it
oh,
some
Did she say that?
I think she does, right? I don't know. she's yelling and stuff. Anyway, but it's just so weird. Like, he just chucks her in the water.
She's like, you're hurting me.
Yeah, she does say that. Maybe she doesn't say it. You're hurting me. Maybe I'm making that up.
You are making it up.
Why but, like, it's really funny because they were all happy and throwing flowers and stuff. And then
this is the issue with him having the bad brain. If he had the innocent brain, he's just like, oh, look it, she's making flowers float. I'll throw the girl in and make her float.
Make her float, yeah, thanks.
But since he's got the evil brain, it sort of doesn't make much sense. But
so you think he's actually trying to murder her?
Everybody is.
No, I don't think he is. I'm saying he's trying to make her float, but he's just stupid. But,
like,
so.
Yeah, I mean, is he like a 5-year-old? Like, does he remember anything about his other life? Like,
no. If he did, he'd be able to talk.
I guess.
Good.
Friend, good. Yeah,
smoke. It does look rather playful, though. You know,
he's like, I don't think he's trying to.
It's not. It's
all.
Not intentional, and that's the thing.
It does look very when his actions are actually very playful, and then he's like, "Oh my god, I gotta go tell somebody about this."
He's like, I gotta go. It was like when as a kid you did something and you just run away.
Yeah, that was always. Oh,
you're like, oh fuck, I didn't mean to do this. Run.
I still do that. I mean, let's face it. So,
I just usually get in my car and drive really fast because I get out of here.
These guys, these Germans, they fucking know how to party. They're slapping away at their knickers and their lederhosen and they're ringing around the rosy and all the kids are there.
You'll see this same exterior set in a couple different Frankenstein movies down the line.
Right. Why not?
Yeah.
Fiddling. There's probably bratwurst on the table.
Probably.
A good kind.
Yeah.
Oh, his beer! There's a lot of beer. We established.
Hose head will crash through the
actual Baron Frankenstein. Yeah, he does say, "Oh, it's amazing, but a couple of free beers will do for a guy."
Yeah, I know. He's a party animal, that guy.
Like, so they can let the peasants have beer.
But the monster does show up at the party. He finds Elizabeth.
Not the good stuff. Not the good stuff.
Yeah. Right. He kind of does that later, right? He's like, "Oh, he doesn't need that." but it's kind of he's scared. So the monster scares Elizabeth. She's like, "Oh, okay."
First of all, they're like, "Oh, the monster, you know, of Waldman's dead. The monster's on the loose. Elizabeth, I'm gonna lock you in this room."
That's the answer to everything.
And then it becomes like a really dopey, like, he's upstairs. Who is downstairs? I think I saw him in the attic.
Don't worry about that. And the doctor's dead. But let's still get the wedding
to do. The final act of the movie, you got to kind of go with, like, I just got to go with this.
They were scared, I guess.
Yeah. Like, because then the father comes with Maria and he's like, she's been killed. Right. But he doesn't. He didn't see that. He just saw like.
Well, yeah, this whole thing because then they figure she's been thrown in the water, even though she could have just fallen in or whatever. And then they just assume it's Frankenstein's monster. They don't even know that he did it. It could have been anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, whatever. But he shows up with the poor girl that she drowned, and they literally say, like, it's the burger monster. Like, literally says, "Get your tortures and go," which I love.
That's like the national defense. Like, that's all he's got. He's like, he can only do one thing. That's like the equivalent of like calling the National Guard. It's like, torch up, guys.
It's the equivalent of being one of the people in Michigan that didn't want to wear a mask, so you go to the state house and yell at everybody with your guns.
Yep.
That's the Frankenstein.
Yeah, it is. We haven't come that far since.
Yeah, we don't see the plot to kidnap the Burgomeister in this movie, but it's implied.
It's literally like that scene in Monty Python where they're like, "Burn the witch!" Like, it's so hokey.
History repeats itself. But this is the first movie. This is the one that created the trope, villagers with torches and pitchforks. As Stanley would say when he was creating the Hulk, those idiots with pitchforks and torches.
All right. So
there's a guy, he's bringing the dead Maria into town, and there's a guy dead staring the father, still dancing, slapping away at his knee.
But, you know, the other thing is... the girl that played Maria was like said the hardest that was like the hardest part was just staying like you were dead, just limp and just like don't move. Just had to be like completely like ugh.
Yeah, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, you try it.
Yeah.
I did, and I couldn't do it. Durson walked me into town on my wedding day like that, and it, I was just, I'm like, this isn't working. Like, I don't look dead enough.
I know you asked for this as a wedding present, yeah. But this
Durson
is
really walked amazing. Into, Durson a couple walked of beers in the church and said, he's been amazing. Murdered! And they're like, no, he is.
And then Bayo was back there playing the spoons and the, or whatever yeah. This guy was.
It was real weird. It was a weird
Durson's
day.
Durson's like, I hope there's still more free beer.
I probably, I don't know, but I didn't drink as much beer back then. What, no, 18 years?
Yeah. 18 years.
Holy shit.
And one day.
Yeah. Holy shit, you got to get on that. Anyways. I forgot we're still recording this podcast. Anyways. This guy walks in. They go out into different sections. I love it. It's like, you take the mountains. And so they go in the mountains and
the monsters. The hound dogs. There. Get them up. Go.
Yeah, they literally, yeah, it's like, release the hounds. So, like, they get, he takes Dr. Frankenstein, who's all alone, like, even though there were mobs of people earlier, but he kind of just goes off.
Yeah, he split off everybody yeah. else because, you know.
He put his riding boots on. He's got his hunting outfit on. They're like, you know, I know this from watching a lot of Downton Abbey. These guys change a lot. They change a lot.
So is he kind of just after him because of what he did to Elizabeth, basically? Because before he was kind of like, no, you can't.
Yeah. For a bunch of reasons. Yeah, he's after him for Elizabeth. Which I think in the book, Elizabeth dies.
Oh.
She doesn't hear. No. But yeah, he's sort of like...
They're sort of like...
His, I have to make up...
In the book, it's like his brother that dies.
Yeah, the monster kills like everybody.
Different circumstances. But I mean, this play version is kind of... Almost like a comic book adaptation of a movie. Yeah. Like it's just yeah, like it's simplified, and it makes perfect. This story makes a lot of sense, probably even more sense than the book, which isn't really that great. She's not a great writer, but like the story and the essence of the story is really good, and that's why it's so popular.
Yes, I agree. Like the idea is good, but at a certain point, like when we saw that 1994. Version with Kenneth Branagh and what's his face?
Oh,
it is his face. Why can't Robert De Niro?
Robert De Niro, yeah.
Oh, I was on mute going, Robert De Niro.
And I was just like, I hate John Cleese.
The movie's about 9 hours long, I feel like.
Yeah.
Kenneth
Branagh. But he was saying, actually, I saw something. I was doing a lot of Frankenstein thing. They were talking about De Niro was like, he said the same thing almost that, Bela, the ghost said, which is like, you know, it's like a fine line with the makeup because people still want to know that who it is that's wearing it, but you still want to have a distortion enough that it looks like a creature. It looks like a monster.
Yeah, you can cast anybody.
I'm always disappointed that no one ever does the flat-headed Frankenstein anymore. I know it's a universal trademark, but that's the Frankenstein monster to me.
Yeah.
Not Robert De Niro version, not the Penny Dreadful version.
And I don't know if they were going to maybe do one of those movies when they had their sort of failed reboot of the Universal Studios monster.
They kind of did in that Van Helsing movie with Hugh Jackman. They sort of, they did a take on it, but it's still not as good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Universal...
I think it's kind of like that thing where it has to be like a little bit even like Star Trek, like or whatever, like it has to be 10 or 20% different.
Yeah.
Well, Guillermo del Toro was supposed to make a reboot for Universal.
He probably would have done okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he wanted to. According to this, he says he wanted to take the myth and do something with it, but containing elements of Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein without making it just a classical myth of the monster.
Yeah, you can. I mean, actually, in the book, the bride is brought up as an idea, so it's not so crazy to think that just the bride is part of the book. You could put out a movie with Frankenstein and the bride, or like you know, that would be like the after credit scene.
with Sting.
He was in a Frankenstein movie, wasn't he?
Yeah, The Bride.
The Bride.
Oh.
So, all right, we got to get to the climax here. They're in the windmill. They go to the windmill. He carries them.
He carries them up to the top, apparently fucked up Boris Karloff's back for the rest of his life doing that scene. With the heavy boots and the having to carry him up. He messed up his back real bad. And had, I guess he had several surgeries that never really did much, but he was in pain for the rest of his life. Damn. But due to that scene. But yes, they light the.
Well, first he throws him off.
Yeah.
They're down there with the torches. And they're like, oh, he's up there. But they're fighting and you know, struggling.
But no one knows that Henry created the monster, right?
I don't think so.
They just think he's pretty sure
that he murdered Maria. So even though they have no evidence to back that up, they're just like, he's a murderer.
I didn't murder.
It's like the classic 1931 movie effects.
We've only got 71 minutes here. So
throws him over the edge and he lands on that windmill thing. It just looks so amazing.
It does look bad. And I think he was supposed to be dead. There, you know, he wasn't supposed to.
I mean, he looks like should be fucking dead. Like, and then
we'll get to the Larry last scene, and I can talk about that.
Okay, they landed like, take him back to town. Like they were still like he was alive. I was like, what? That dude is everything just had to break right there.
I'm okay.
But then they burn the windmill, and Karloff. Hey, that's a great. He's really acting there. He's,
he's burned.
He's able to convey a lot of emotion in this movie through hand gestures.
Yeah.
And just little grunts and sort of noise, like my cat would make, you know, like, I want food.
Like Maria's cat would make.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Maria's puppet cat.
Maybe fake cat. Karloff it looks great here, like as he's burning in the windmill. So, I mean, you gotta remember, there's no CGI fire.
That's like a great mat shot there, where they're combining like an actual like the bottom of a real like set piece with people there with the top of a miniature on fire. So
you're right.
It's pretty good.
They did have, you know, similar for the castle lab, like, kind of set up. And if you look at the exterior of the castle, it is so cool and, like, German expressionist. All the angles, like, don't make any sense, but they're very, like, dramatic.
Yes.
So what is the scene? What is the thing you want to tell us about?
You've got your little. This would be the post credit sequence now. Like where they're all like Henry's like he's fine and all like the ladies are around him.
Yeah, it's like he's gonna be recovered.
And Duke's come out of his coma.
Yes, it's a Duke came out of his coma moment. It's not Colin Clive as Henry Frankenstein, which is like if you look closely. You'll see it's obviously just a double, and they filmed this afterwards where they're like, let's give this guy a happy ending. Yeah.
That's one of the YouTube things that I didn't notice when I watched the movie, but then when somebody pointed it out, they were like, seems kind of tacked on. I was like, I guess
it literally was tacked on, yes.
They didn't even, like, because filming was done, Colin Clive was off to doing his next thing, and they were like, you know what, we got to wrap this up a little better.
Shoot the next Avengers movie. You can be sticking around over here in Universal.
I lost my train of thought. But...
So they tacked it on to give a happy Hollywood ending there, I guess.
Yeah. So, and that's why he's sort of in the background, kind of blurred out. And that's why his dad is like, let's all drink and everybody's head. His father sort of just disappeared for a good chunk of the movie when Frank the monster was running around the house.
I didn't even think that was another person though. Like I would never have thought to think that was a body
I wouldn't
double.
Have thought to think that either.
He kind of looks like away from a distance in this blurry black and white, he kind of looks like Spock.
it is pretty funny. Like, yeah, that is the scene, I think, where they're like, oh, like, maybe, like, they were going to give him some bourbon or something to cheer him up, right? They were going to have this, like, yeah, he's like, oh, he doesn't need that. It always makes it, like, yeah. not my expensive bourbon.
Because, like, movies back, I remember my train of thought now. Movies back then just ended. They didn't usually have an episode. Like, the movie probably, as it was originally shot, would have ended with a shot of the windmill on fire, and then it would have said a Universal picture.
It would have said the end. Like, it literally, those great credits.
A good cast is worth repeating, it says.
No, it goes on forever.
And then it has the monster, Boris Karloff, he gets his due at the end of the movie. So people wanted, they were going to stick around and see if, like, maybe Nick Fury was going to show up anyways, but they, it was Boris Karloff. Oh.
Yeah, apparently at the beginning credits, the title card with the monster question mark was sort of like a holdover from the stage play. They wouldn't say who played the monster.
Oh, that is a very, very nerdy fact that I enjoy knowing now.
Well, yeah, I did pretty good with the nerdy facts here.
That, like, was amazing.
I was
surprised myself how much I could remember without doing a shit ton of research today.
Oh, you did good.
I was kind of hoping when I purchased this on digital whatever, there would be some sort of commentary or extra stuff. Anybody talking about it would be awesome.
I watched two commentaries, well, one and a half commentaries today as I was working.
Because
I have the 75th anniversary DVD, which is almost...
Ripped off here then.
Sorry.
Usually iTunes has extra stuff, but, like, this one does not. I want to watch that stuff.
There was a 2012 version, a 2015 version, a 2016 version, a 2017
digital whatever
version.
Yeah, I think I've got like a 2006 version.
Not the way to go.
Well, most of these are sets of, like, Universal monster pictures.
Oh, right. Like, you'd have to buy, like,
six of them. But the 2017 one had a cover by Alex Ross. So there you go.
Oh, good for him.
Anyway, so
you know he wanted to talk about doing that after he did it.
I would like to talk about one other thing. Kind of briefly here is one thing at this moment, the movie Gods and Monsters, was a biopic of director James Whale. And, it's a good movie, it's a hard watch too.
It is. Ian McKellen. And Brendan Fraser, Brendan Fraser is the young lad that he's seducing. It is a bit of a hard watch. I remember seeing it back then.
Yeah, I saw it back then, and I remember liking it, but thinking it was a hard watch. And then maybe 5 years ago, it was on cable, and I was like, "Oh, I'll DVR this." And I probably made it about 20 minutes into it, and I was like, "I'm just feeling not comfortable." And it's not about the homosexuality stuff. It's just that he's like. James Whale comes across as a little bit of a creeper in the movie, you know?
Well, it's kind of funny that thing you sent to us today, Clay, that Roger Moore was narrating this making of video. She said...
that was cool.
Yeah, no, it was. It was very cool. I didn't watch most of it, but Mae Clark said that she thought that James Whale was kind of creepy, and she thought it was because of like a woman, she said, who...
I think she was misreading him.
Yeah.
I think that he was really in love with this lady, and she wouldn't give it to him. And he was not giving it up. And he was very put out and upset by this lady not giving him the attention he deserved.
Yes, well, clearly she was not. She was misreading the...
Read the room.
Right. And James Whale was found dead in his pool with a gash on his head. So it was sort of a mystery surrounding his death. They thought maybe foul play, perhaps suicide. The world will never know. Perhaps Frankenstein's
a monster. But I do want to, I guess I touched about it a little bit, but like it's at the beginning, but this has been parodied and remade. Not even remade, like not the original. Like, I mean, I guess they had the Robert De Niro one, and they've had so many sequels.
Number of them. The Hammer films did that.
And then, and there's different sort of flavors. So, like the '94, like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Like, there's ones that are faithful to the book. There's ones that are faithful to the, you know, universal aesthetic, and then Hammer's making their own, and those are kind of a little bit different. And then there was a lot of Karloff, Lugosi, and Lon Chaney Jr., like a lot of different actors involved, and they were all playing in the same movies, and it was like kind of a big, you know, big old thing.
Well, yeah, it was, but it's also kind of it's funny because it's become kind of a comedy thing now, and
yeah,
that's really creepy for 1931. Especially Mel Brooks.
Frankenstein is probably one of the best.
Yeah, Mel Brooks is the one, really, that, aside from Abbott and Costello.
How great is it? I mean, it's like, it's almost, you know, it owes everything to the original Frankenstein. It's so revered, like it treats the material in a cool way. And I think they used the same Universal stuff from the guy that had the shit in his garage.
Oh, man.
You know,
that's
no nothing. It's a really funny movie. It was on just the other day, actually, and I saw my favorite scene where he sings "Putting on the Ritz."
The guy in Frankenstein, let's get the arm that's like zzz, 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 like has become like a joke because of Young Frankenstein. it's the exact same thing, but it becomes funny with Mel Brooks.
Right.
And then retroactively funny in the Universal movie because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the universe, to watch it now, it is kind of funny. Like, you can appreciate the filmmaking and some of, and the art that went into it and all that. But you watch it now, like, especially, like I said, like, it's probably one of the most violent things you could do is throw that guy off the ledge and he lands on the, you know, on the windmill thing. But it looks so good. I mean, you just can't help but crack up when you see it. So, I don't know, it's funny, but like back then they were probably like I mean, it was banned. Apparently Ireland or Kansas, I forget which one of these places.
Ireland or Kansas,
yeah, one of the, I read two different things. I'm trying to find it.
North
now,
Dakota,
but yeah, here in North Dakota probably too.
Yeah, North Dakota, you still can't even watch the movie. That's how repressed we are here.
All right, so it's Kansas. They wanted to
edited out the whole movie.
32 just scenes,
the credit.
Which was like half the movie, literally half the movie. But it was also banned in Ireland for being demoralizing and unsuitable for children or nervous people.
I think that's it. Owe all to any references to God, and that you're creating life from God. It's like a very like repressed kind of vision of the world.
Yeah, but it's a big deal. I mean, I guess like this was, I can't think, this is like sort of like what, when like Passion of the Christ came out or something, you know what I mean, when everybody was upset about that when that movie came out, or whatever, you know, like this is a big deal. People were like freaked out,
and you know, it's just like banned books, you know, it's like people want to see it more probably.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I think they're due for a remake. I would see like a legit, not, I don't know, depending if it was Guillermo del Toro, I guess I would have seen it, but I guess it's not gonna happen. But I think we're due for a good remake or reboot or whatever of this movie.
If they stick with the this makeup scheme of the monster, I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, for whatever reason, I'm sure we could. I'm sure Sam knows the reasons why. Maybe just because it wasn't that popular, like that Dracula Untold and the Mummy movie were supposed to be part of this big Universal reboot. And
that Wolfman movie was technically supposed to, like, retroactive.
Oh, yes. That one, too. I always forget about that.
Yeah, they were going to make their own cinematic universe kind of thing. And I think, wasn't that... Oh, yeah, The Mummy. And Johnny Depp was supposed to play the Invisible Man, but then he became a creep. I mean, he was...
Yeah, you know what? That's... that's a fucking misnomer, which is actually Johnny Depp's wife was the one that was the psycho, and he was the one that was abused.
Oh, man. Well, I still think he's probably a weirdo, but...
He is a weirdo. No denying that.
But I think whatever the reason that put the Invisible Man on hold, also I think that that Tom Cruise movie didn't do all that well.
Yeah, no, it didn't do well.
So
that's, yeah, it didn't. That's another what's-his-face from Star Trek, Alex Kurtzman.
Yeah.
Alex Kurtzman.
Joint.
Yeah.
Sam and I saw the movie, that movie together. Got press passes, and we, and then his, and he was like, "This is actually weird," but he's like, "Yeah, my dad's here too." I'm like, "What?" His dad and his buddy were there watching the movie.
Oh, and you guys went for free. No.
Yeah, they had to pay.
But yeah, I think this movie, and like, yeah, do it well and do it like more like not so Mary Shelley. Like, I have to say, I've never read the book, but you know.
It's just that it's the story is like, I had to have sort of like a, you can literally look up clip notes online because it's just like, it's just hard to sort of get through. It's only an 8-hour audiobook.
I agree with everything you're saying.
It's not that it's bad. It's a good story, but she like wasn't really that great of a writer. So it's just kind of, it's just weird, but I'm going to get through it. And I just had the Wikipedia or the clip notes up, and I was like, because it's all like, it's kind of like the Dracula book. It's like, letter from this person to that person.
Oh, yeah, and then the Dracula book is rough, too.
You know, it's like, it's told by framing devices, which is, you know, we're used to a little bit more fast-paced shit than that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to finish the book, though. I mean, I figure it's Halloween. I might as well.
That's cool. It's funny that, like, it came out in 1818. It's called Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus, which I always thought was a funny, like, people, no one remembers that, but that's, I like that.
And there's actually, you know what's really funny is the Will Ferrell origin of this story, of how this story got written on Drunk History.
Yes.
Because, but it was literally like a, like almost like a contest, like who can come up with the spookiest thing.
At the beginning of The Bride of Frankenstein, they sort of played that up a little bit where they have Mary Shelley as one of the characters where they're talking about the story she wrote.
Well, there you go. Maybe we should. I almost feel like Bride of Frankenstein would have been a more interesting podcast. Not that there's anything wrong with Frankenstein, but I don't know. It's all good.
It's all good. Still good. Still good.
We have, you know, next year's Halloween episode to think about.
Next year's Halloween.
Why not do that? I mean, you know, why? But we would have skipped too much if we.
No, you're just right. You're right. But anyway, yeah, so final thoughts fun movie. I think I'd like to see an updated version. I mean, it's the violence now is so tame. Everything that they were upset about in 1931 is obviously nothing.
Yeah, it's all in children's TV shows now.
Yeah, it's absolutely, like, it adds to the charm in a way, I think, too, as you guys were saying. So, yeah, if you watch it with that sort of appreciation... I'll definitely,
and it's like, but almost like kind of like what you said, like, as from a modern perspective, it's a fun, quick watch. It's like watching an hour TV show. There's not a lot of bullshit. Like, it's not slow in any way. Like, it's just it's fun. It's a good watch. Good thing for Halloween.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There you go. It is kind of funny now. Like, a lot of these hour TV shows actually do go longer too, so like it is mostly like that. It's like watching a TV show now. I even watch it with commercials because I watch it on YouTube.
Well,
not very well.
How about that?
Good
on you.
Didn't even pay the $3.99.
Were there commercials in it? Because usually if I watch something on YouTube with commercials, I might have a commercial at the beginning, and then the rest of the movie is usually commercial free.
Well, this was split into 16 scenes.
I was going to say, like, was it like one of those, like, watch the playlist?
Yeah. And it just, so it would reload automatically, but there would be a commercial in between each scene. So.
I see.
But, yeah. What's YouTube? It has to be like 10 minutes long before they will put a commercial in or something. I don't know. That used to be their policy. Yeah, all right, but that's all we got, I think, for Frankenstein, which I'm not supposed to call it that, I guess. I don't know. Frankenstein. Frankenstein's monster, which
I always like the way Bela Lugosi would say it. He'd be like, "Are you ready, Frankenstein?"
Frankenstein.
Like there's a promotional video of him of Bela and Boris doing something. They're sitting at like a chess board, and he's like,
"I saw that.
Ready, when you are, Dracula." You know.
I guess my only real thing is the Ed Wood movies to go on for Bela, but he had quite a career other than that as well.
He did.
Yes.
He fell on hard times at the end, but yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's like the, you know, you hear about these things. It's like fucking the director gashing his head and fucking, you know, the guy that did the makeup is like never appreciated and everybody stole from him. It's like,
yeah,
everything ends in tragedy.
These times where, yeah, there's all kinds of Hollywood stories, you know, kind of thing.
There is I think it's on YouTube, an episode of This Is Your Life of Boris Karloff, and Jack Pierce appears on it. Oh. So
very well.
Let's seek that out.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, there are actors now, but there's nobody who just plays like. I mean, Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff were kind of like known for these movies. I guess you could. There are guys or women known for like certain movies, but not. That's a cool thing. Just, they were really known for that. So, yeah, go check out Universal movies. Universal
Frankenstein,
and check us out at leaguepodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, and if you're on Apple Podcasts, I think you can leave like 5 stars, right? Because why wouldn't you? What's the difference? They're free.
Yeah, it's free to you to give us those stars.
Yeah. Right. And it would make us feel good. Don't you want to make people feel good? The world is so crappy
in this
right
day
now.
And age.
Yeah, exactly. But
all I want is for someone to give us a like somewhere. That's all I want, ever.
That's all I want. A like somewhere. So a positive review on Apple is pretty much the same thing. You don't have to write anything, right? Just give 5 stars. You don't have to be like, boy, that guy does.
Rate. Or you can rate and review. I suggest Durst and Yourself if these people short. They want to do both.
And if you
they
want
to do both.
We're not forcing you to.
Yeah.
Just say nice things. That Durst screws up all the time. He doesn't remember names or anything.
Yeah, we all screw up all the time.
Part
of the greatness of this podcast is about how much we screw up in humorous ways.
That's right. Well, anyways, thanks for listening, though. And, we'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Oh, he doesn't need this.
I thought you were going to say something like, firebat, or something.
Waited for you to do it.
Yeah.
I was trying to come up with a good thing, but I couldn't do it.
Yeah, neither could I. So
there was no like definitive ending thing in this movie.
He doesn't really say anything, so you can't.
You should keep this all in, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Leave it all in.
Well, so where do you fuck?
Frankenstein.